He's going to have to continue this story at a later time.
So this is a little bit of a crossover, guys. Are you excited? This is the news feed on Rock Deep Rogue Radio, but it's also pirate radio. It's holy crap! There's so much shit going on. Like I have the original podcast. I don't even know what term would work best for you. I mean, I guess pirate because he's like swarthy. I mean, he's got a big thick beard. Like he scares children.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, lights villages on fire. And
I
shit
bury
like that.
Treasure.
Yeah, he buries treasure. Yeah, exactly. He's Steve Monick. But
hello.
I've got Vivian here.
Hello.
I've got Jay here.
Hey, hey.
Steve, I am so excited about this topic. You have no idea, dude. Like I just read to Vivian and Jay my article that I was writing for Comics Online about this. Like, I'm so excited about this. I have so many, like, stupid fan theories that I came up with and, like, crazy, like, Elseworlds and shit for the sports world. Like, I'm losing my mind. I'm so excited.
Can the Cowboys win something?
No, never, ever.
Please?
We've destroyed that universe.
So they don't even exist in this alter world.
No.
So no Cowboys and no Colts.
Whoa. So the Steelers won the 95-96 Super Bowl then?
By default, because there was no other team there. They just showed up and there was nobody else there. They're like, well, I guess we win. All right. I know you're limited on time, Mr. Monick, because you've got to be up early. For work. Listen to this rebel. Okay.
Breaking the law.
I know.
Breaking the law.
Doing what he wants, man.
Wait, if he's got time, I have time for my rant, right?
I can do what I want.
I do what I want. We decided that Eric Cartman is the child version of
child.
Donald Trump.
He's Tiny Trump.
Tiny Trump, yeah. Exactly. Whatever, I do what I want.
He's Trump
0.0. Yeah.
the second article on this news thing, which like I said, I the political stuff I'd rather leave off the air. Personally.
Thanks.
But the second article is about dress codes. All right. So these.
For who?
In general. It is a. And once again, this is a right leaning talk radio show.
Okay.
So you kind of already know where their opinions are going to be.
Yeah.
So at any rate, they're playing an interview with these teenage girls who are saying that, oh, we got sent home from school because our shorts are too short and we're wearing spaghetti strap shirts and we're a distraction to the boys and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, I'm listening to this young woman talk and I'm like, you sound so ignorant.
What was she saying?
She was saying, her argument is that we got sent home because we're a distraction to the boys.
Yeah.
And so the boys get their education, but I have to go home because I didn't dress right.
Well, I mean, I got kicked out of school all the time because I wore that pair of shorts that had the hole in the front that just let my wiener flop out.
Dude,
because that was a distraction.
It's
so.
The distraction. It's all about the distraction, right? So the school board.
The balls out jeans is what they were called.
Balls out jeans.
Balls
that's
out
right.
Jeans. Yeah.
So the thing that aggravated me about this article is that, okay, it's not an issue of whether the girls are a distraction to the boys.
Yeah.
The issue is that at the beginning of the school year, everyone is handed a handbook, and this is the dress code.
Yeah.
You went to school. You broke the dress code. You got sent home.
Yeah.
Now, if you feel the dress code is unfair, you're entitled to feel it's unfair.
Yeah. I just
petition the school board. Get that shit changed.
Am I the only one
don't
that hears?
Don't break the rule. Don't break the rule to change the rule. That's not how you fix the problem.
Am I the only one that hears the boys in a very like southern accent being like, I can't study my Spanish test because that girl over there is wearing a shirt where I can see her shoulders.
I can't get any reading done when my pants are this tight.
I don't know about you, teacher, but I can't focus when this girl's wearing that short shorts.
All the blood is in my shorts. It's
making my pants tingle.
Listen, when I said I wanted to see two Bs, I didn't mean from a shirt. I was trying to get my grades up.
Oh, boo.
So the third article, and this is why I struggle, and I have a habit. Because of I do the podcasting thing, and I produce a bunch of different types of shows. I like to listen to different podcasts and see how they present themselves. If you want to pull your eyes out with a spoon, listen to Anna Faris's podcast.
Is it that bad?
Like, the thing is, her voice is already grating.
Yeah, that's
yes.
And like her co-host is this, I guess it's her gay best friend that isn't gay.
Wait,
what? What?
Is it OBJ?
I don't know the dude's name. I don't know the dude's name, but it's not Chris Pratt, OBJ. Who is her husband. It's just this weird dude who is like her non-remote romantic guy friend, and it's obvious like
she's his
he's
friend zone.
It's her. It's her.
Gay.
Yeah, it's her in her friend zone.
Jesus
and
Christ.
It's her in her friend zone.
He friend zoned himself.
But he's a gay friend zone.
So. No, I don't even think he's gay. I think he's just like That's how she treats him.
Okay, so in my mind, I imagine it being some flaming
guy. Oh, no, it's
like,
not at all.
Really she treats him like okay. the male best friend. She
treats him like he's a Ken doll. Like
she talks down to him, and it's just horrible. It's uncomfortable to listen to. So anyway.
Shut up, bitch.
like that scene in basketball. So whatever, you're a little bitch.
So I'm listening to this, and it's a female talk. It's a female host, and she's leaning right, and she's almost as ignorant sounding as the people in the articles that she's playing the clips of. So I'm torn. I'm listening to these articles about Comey, and then I'm listening to the article about the dress code, and I'm like, well, first things first, I agree with your opinion, but I don't want to because you sound like an idiot. Like, the way that you present your opinion is wrong. Mm. Now, the core of your opinion, I'm with it. They broke the rule. They get sent home from school. If you don't like the rule, that's fine. You don't dress out of dress code and go to school. You're still a minor. It's more of a situation where your parents should really address the school board and say, why did my child get sent home from school? Well, did you read the school handbook? We don't like the school handbook. All right, well, let's have a PTA meeting and let's hash this shit out and fix the problem. Mm-hmm. If boys want to wear dresses, they can wear dresses, but they have to be knee length because that's the fucking dress code.
Yeah.
That's the...
This entire time, you've been saying Comey, and I keep thinking you're saying Kobe because we're talking about sports later. So I'm like, what is Kobe and Trump? What have they been doing? What did I miss?
Listen, Kobe bought Trump a ring, and they're ignoring all the other stuff that happened.
And it's all fine now. We're glossing it over.
You'll find out on Twitter later. Don't worry.
That's right.
It's fake news.
The tweeter. It's the tweeter.
On the tweeters.
But yeah, so then the show wraps up with this final article, and I don't even remember the article because she starts with the most like politically charged, angering thing. And then she goes to the school dress code thing. And then like the third story was like about a duck or something. Like it was completely innocuous. And like you started with your most controversial thing and then got progressively like more like it's almost as if she knows that people get tired of her voice halfway through a show.
Oh, let's get right to the meat of it.
Yeah,
and then
because people are going to tune out about halfway through. Mm. And she's right. Like, I don't remember what the third article was because I was so mad at her.
It was ducks. You just said that.
Yeah, it was I said ducks, but that was just the example.
He doesn't know. It could have been ducks.
Memory loss.
It could have been like the secret. It could have been like the secret to immortality. But he didn't even fucking care because she was tired of hearing her voice.
She may as well have been Emilio Estevez yelling at Mr. Duckworth. Quack, 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 Mr. Duckworth.
Hey, look at you making sports references.
Hey,
I like that.
I'm in. Right. Go sports ball teams.
Go sports ball teams. All right, we're going to start this off. Steve, we're going old school. We're using one of our original intros. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Stupid guns.
Comics Online Pirate Radio starts right now.
Are you ready? Here we go.
For everything geek pop culture, this is Comics Online, baby.
ComicsOnline.com and FXBG Pirate Radio Studios presents Comics Online Pirate Radio.
We are starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Broadcast starting.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, my name is Mike Lunsford, and this is Comics Online Pirate Radio, the original Pirate Radio. It's me. It's Steve Monick. I've got some other people here, too. It's this massive crossover show. There's like 9 different things going on. Dogs and cats living together. It's mass hysteria, and it's going to be fucking awesome. I am so excited because, like, I'm like a little kid, okay? Because I come over to Steve's house, and by Steve's house, I mean, like, texting him on our cell phones. And I'm like, Steve, can you come out and do a podcast today? And he's like, nah, man, I'm really, really busy. I got a lot of stuff to do. You know, my wife's pregnant. And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, just, you know, like call me or something or whatever. Just let me know when you can come out and play. And he's like, it's cool, man. Just we'll get together and we'll do something fun soon. I promise. I'm just really busy. And I'm like, all right, well, what about today? Can you play today? And he's like, maybe. God, just fine, whatever. I'll just come on the show if you'll just shut up. So here he is. Here's Steve Monick.
Yeah, that's how you want to get him motivated. Mike, I am your podcast prisoner. That's going to be a rousing episode tonight. I fucking want to be here, but I guess that's where this is what you're up for, asshole.
It's not that you don't want to be here. It's that you have obligations.
No, I very much do want to be here. I love doing these podcasts, but yes, there's just more on my plate than there has been in the past. So juggling all of it has been a new challenge.
What it is that you have more on your plate than I do right now is what it is. And that's okay. And that's why, again,
You're accustomed to being a dad and doing all that kind of juggling, keeping everything up in the air.
I'm a pro at this shit, man. I've been doing this for 8 years.
Oh, gee.
And pretending like I know what I'm doing. Like when somebody's like, well, how do you tell your kid to not do this? I don't know. Like, how do you tell your kid to be nice to other kids? I don't know. Like,
you sit down and you turn on the TV on C-SPAN or CNN and you say, don't act like that guy.
Don't be these guys.
Don't be these people. So why is music like in my head that is not the right lyrics? I want to fire someone. It should be Comey. Name that song.
That's not fair.
I want to know Steve what loves, love is.
Steve loves...
don't bring Foreigner into this.
Yeah, exactly. Foreigner is one of his favorite bands, man. Anyways.
I'm hot-blooded.
Check it and see.
Check it and see.
Yeah. You know what, though, Eric? If you're anything, you're my jukebox hero.
Na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yes. Thank you. Joining us tonight, we have, via the magical, mystical means of the internet, we have Stephen Monick from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hello.
We've got Vivian Perea, who's sitting right next to me in the studio.
Hello.
We've got Jeremy Lee, also sitting next to me in the studio.
My pants are tingling.
That's his intro.
I've got EK the DJ running the board.
Hiding in the background.
Behind Jay.
I want that sound clip from now on. Like, that's the beginning of your show. Real life with Jay Lee. My pants are tingling.
11 minutes and 30 seconds.
I'm just that
in.
Excited Thank about this podcast shit that my pants are tingling.
That's 11 minutes and 30 seconds in when you need that sound bite.
Thank you. Look at EK the DJ.
Like, real shit. When I pulled up, like, I had a raging heart on it, and I had to picture Roseanne Barr in my mind to get it to go down.
Hey, she's about to get a new show.
Oh, so. And now I'm going.
he pictured Roseanne Barr in his mind and immediately finished, and I can't explain why. Yeah.
Oh, God. If she
just
starts
her singing the national anthem, and there I go.
If she starts talking about how I need to clean up the garage, I'm going to lose it. All right, guys. So
get them up.
Steve and I have these ridiculously inane conversations via texting each other where we just talk about the stupidest shit. And it comes into our show. Like, this is the shows that we come up with. And Steve, being the good friend that he is, knows that I was in a post-Washington Capitals Game 7 loss to his Pittsburgh Penguins depression, where I was in a fetal position eating McDonald's cheeseburgers as fast as I possibly could. And he texts me, and he's like, hey, Mike, what if we did a sports what-if, where, like, what if Ovi got drafted by the Penguins and Crosby went to the Capitals, knowing full well that this might possibly bring me out of my post-Capitals breaking my heart funk.
Depression.
Yes, it was horrible. It was bad. It was really bad.
I didn't see you for a couple days. Not even on the internet.
No.
You didn't talk.
I listened to that Eric Carmen song all by myself, like just on repeat.
I avoided the television, radio, all publications involving sports. I just watched Chopped for like 12 hours.
And ate.
Like, I can't. No, actually, I couldn't even eat. I just drank water and watched Chopped.
Oh, that's even sad.
It was just like, it's, we're so used to this.
Like you're in prison.
Like, just over and over again. Steve.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about this. I want you to start because I have like four or five ready to go out of the hopper with our sports what if. So let's give the premise to the folks. Basically what this is, something, one thing, which can lead to an avalanche of other things, changes in the sports world and changes the whole makeup of everything. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Steve, what's the first one when you were thinking of this that came into your mind?
So being a Pittsburgh fan, one of the things that's like always talked about with relation to Big Ben, our quarterback for the Steelers, is he is part of a very, very top-heavy quarterback draft class from 08. It has him, Eli Manning, and Phillip Rivers. So my thought for a pretty if was, what if that draft class turned out differently? So if you know anything about that, Eli and his like dick dad Archie, Eli, he ain't playing for no Chargers. He's gonna play in the Big Apple. And I thought a pretty interesting what if would be, all right, well, what if pull off that trade? So Eli stays with the Chargers. the Giants picked at 4, thinking they were going to be trading for Eli. And with Rivers and Big Ben on the board, it's entirely possible they would have taken Big Ben over him. I was just reading an article today about Pro Football Focus's. Rivers is actually a touch better, but they're almost identical. Ben's bigger, you know, a little more of an athlete when you just have the eye test side of it. Yeah. So I'm just saying, all right, the Giants pick Big Ben outright because they couldn't pull the trade off. That leaves the Steelers with Phillip Rivers being our quarterback. So that's the what if. If Phillip Rivers in 04 was our quarterback, I don't know if that affects the two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You know, because with Phillip Rivers, they have a real way of shit in the bed in the fourth quarter. Like, they lose a lot of games they should be winning.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Ben is the opposite. We could be losing for three quarters, and then Ben's like, I got this, I got this. And they win. I also have to give due with the Seahawks Super Bowl that we won in 05-06. Officiating. You know, it wasn't like Ben won that one or whatever. Ben won that one against the Cardinals, though.
Yeah. Ben, oh, that was the San Antonio Holmes.
San Antonio Holmes. There's no way. I mean, there's very few quarterbacks in the league that could have made that throw. You guys think Rivers is one of them?
I think with any, I mean, there's certain circumstances where we see teams that they have the right pieces in place, and you're not going to find out that you have all the right pieces until a pivotal moment like that. I think what happens is you have a situation like that where the Cardinals inexplicably get up on the Steelers and you're like, holy shit, this Cardinals are going to win the fucking Super Bowl. They march down the field, but Phillip Rivers throws an interception at the end of the game and the Cardinals win. That's how I see it going, because but that's the other thing too, is you never know if that's part of his makeup or that's part of the fact that he's having to sling the ball all the time. Because his defense never does anything for him, because half of his receivers are either injured or can't catch the friggin' ball, and that's where this all comes down to. I mean, Jay, I mean, you have experience with this as a football coach. Like, mm-hmm. How do you know when that person is going to be the person? I mean, is it just a matter of kind of throwing them out there and hoping to see that they've got it or they don't?
I mean, in my experience as coaching high school, it always really came down to when you throw a young quarterback out there and you see how he handles the madness of it, because practice speed can never mimic game speed.
Yeah.
And you kind of see their makeup. You see if they can handle the stress. You see how they react when they get sacked. Do they get rattled? Do they start to get rid of the ball faster because they don't want to get hit? Or do they still hold on to the ball and take the hit while delivering a crucial game-winning touchdown pass because he's just cooled under the pressure? Those things kind of develop over time. It's not something where you can just look at somebody down the sideline and be like, I think he has it.
I mean, because that's what happened with Ryan Leaf. They were like, look at this guy. He looks like a quarterback.
He passed the eyeball test.
And how'd that work out?
And everybody's eyeballs were wrong, just like they're going to be wrong about Mitchell Trubisky. But
hooked on meth now and, you know, and all sorts of other stuff. Like, yeah.
But, I mean, as far as Rivers.
Well, I think you guys hit the nail, though, is like that viable, like, you know, he's been hit a bunch of times. Is he going to stay in the pocket and take the hit or whatever? I mean, this is the dude who I remember watching lose a fourth quarter when all he had to do was take a knee, fumbled it. The Chiefs picked it up, drove down, won the game. Who can hit that pass to San Antonio Holmes despite getting kind of beaten up by that Cardinals defense a little bit. So I think there's a good chance that Phillip Rivers is shitting the bed on that one.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, with any of those situations, I mean, you flip it, you know, Eli stays in San Diego. Rivers is the one quarterback in the Giants. They play the Patriots in the Super Bowl. They ain't beating the Patriots.
No.
Can we create a universe that where the Patriots just
kind of leads
exist?
Into one of my other what ifs.
All right. What's the other what if, Steve? Go ahead.
If the 07 Patriots won that Super Bowl and went 19-0.
Yeah. I would have enjoyed that one a great deal because they're my second team.
Oh, I know.
I actually,
as would my brother.
I did a different Patriots what if. Instead of
what was yours?
Instead of doing that Super Bowl, I did the 2001 season. And this was like right after 9/11, so everybody's like all depressed. Football comes back. It's really kind of cool that the Patriots were the ones that won the Super Bowl right after 9/11. It was kind of a kind of an apropos thing. But my football hero always has been since I was a really little kid. I want to say I was like 11 or 12 or 13.
Steve Grogan.
Not Drew Bledsoe. I remember the Redskins were horrible at this point, and I was like, I really like football, but
this point,
I can't.
Mike, this point,
yes, this point, Steve, and for the next 25 years, they won the Super Bowl in 91, and then after that, it just all fell apart. The Patriots ended up revamping everything. They had their old like red uniforms. They were like, we need something fresh. They changed it to those cool like silver helmets with that awesome like flying Elvis logo. They changed their colors. Bill Parcells is their head coach, and they draft this guy Drew Bledsoe. And I remember reading an article about him in Sports Illustrated, and they called him a gunslinger. And I was like, that's the coolest term ever for a quarterback. And that's what he was. He was just a big dude. He didn't run. Like, if it was third and one, and, like, you could run for the first down, he's like, nope, fuck it, we're throwing. Like, he was – and that's the thing, though, too.
Get a strong arm.
Super, like, the dude – okay, you know the NFL, like the thing that they had in Hawaii, like, before the Pro Bowl, where, like, everybody just, like, played around, and they were like, hey, we're going to play all these different games and stuff?
Oh, that's my favorite part. I love that.
Bledsoe threw an 80-yard pass. The other guys weren't even hitting 60. He threw an 80-yard pass, and the only reason it didn't count is because it went out of bounds. He threw a fucking 80-yard bomb to a dude.
Wow.
Like, I was sold. I was like, this...
Nerf Vortex football?
Say what now?
Was that with a Nerf Vortex football?
It whistled the whole way.
Did he get a running start like Happy Gilmore?
But either way, like, I always wanted him to win a Super Bowl because he did... He did the coolest thing in sports. He took a team that was 1-15. He got drafted and then led them to the Super Bowl. They played the Green Bay Packers, and they lost to Brett Favre and Desmond Howard because Desmond Howard was just apparently on drugs or something that day because he'd been horrible all the way up until that point in his career. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, wait, I'm really fast and I can catch the football and run. And he did that.
I'm a Heisman Trophy winner.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Holy shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not playing for the Redskins anymore.
Exactly. The one I'm changing is the 2001 season. So I still think it was awesome that your backup quarterback, Tom Brady, comes in and leads that team to the playoffs. Like, he won, like, something like 9 straight games. They were 11-5. They won the East. That AFC championship, and Steve, I'm not trying to rub this in your face, but Brady got hurt in that one. Bledsoe comes back in, leads the Patriots for 2 more touchdowns. They still win that game, go on to the Super Bowl. What I'm changing is Brady's injury is more severe. He breaks his ankle. He cannot play in the Super Bowl. Bledsoe is the one that leads them against the Rams. He's the one that upsets the St. Louis Rams. He's the one that wins the Super Bowl. Instead of trading Bledsoe to the Bills and keeping Brady, they trade Brady to the Bills. Because he's young, they get another draft pick too, and they're able to get to another Super Bowl either the next year or the year after. But Bledsoe gets to do that. He doesn't get to tarnish his legacy by going to the fucking Cowboys. Ugh. God, that was disgusting. That made me sick to my stomach watching one of my favorite players play for like my most hated team. That's like if Hines Ward went to the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, it's just disgusting.
I'm sorry for you, Mike.
Oh, you should be.
I was trying to make the Patriots not exist at all, so I understand.
Well, if that's the one that you want to do, then fine. Okay, Boston loses their expansion franchise in the 60s.
All right, if you want to do an anti-Patriots won, then you change the tuck rule game against Oakland.
And
there you go.
It.
They get the call where they call it a fumble. Oakland wins, and that Super Bowl never even happened.
And there's no dynasty.
There you go. Yeah, and that's what Jay had said earlier, too. Was almost the exact same thing. I want to go into one of my more wild and outlandish ones. Are you ready for this one, Steve?
I don't know.
Okay.
With you, I never know.
So I did a DC multiverse, right?
But because of course you did.
Of course I did, yeah. And what I did was I did one where instead of a flashpoint, it all has to do with former Redskins owner Jack Kent Cook. So it's a Jack Point, if you will. In 1992...
I won't, but go on.
Okay. 1992 was the year that the Redskins beat the Bills in the Super Bowl. It was the 91 season, but they beat them in January of 92, right? So in this one, because it's a different alternate Elseworld, instead of playing the Bills, they're playing the Houston Oilers because the Oilers don't blow that ridiculous lead, and the Bills never come back, and they never get to the next Super Bowl. So it doesn't matter. But they actually won the one the year before because they kicked the field goal and actually beat the Giants. So whatever. So they have one. We're not going to talk about it anymore because Buffalo doesn't deserve any more championships. It's a horrible, ugly place.
Where dreams go to die.
Where dreams go to die. So Mr. Cook is known to be very crazy and flamboyant. Like, Jay can attest to this because he's been a Skins fan as long as I have. Mm-hmm. Jack Kent Cook was one of the greatest owners of all time because he was just absolutely fucking nuts. Yes. But when it came to talent evaluation, the dude was a fucking genius. He actually owned the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Kings and was the one that put Jerry West in charge of the Lakers and took them on that streak that they had.
And owned the Forum.
The Forum. He was the one that built the Forum, yeah. So, I mean, he was an incredible just evaluator of talent. He's the one that brought in Joe Gibbs. He's the one that brought in Bobby Bethard, the guys who constructed those awesome Redskins teams.
Bobby.
So, on the way to the Super Bowl, Jack Kent Cook's limo gets a flat tire, and none of the locals will help him except for a local Native American chief who just happens to own a tow truck. They start talking because he's sitting in the tow truck, and the Native American chief is like, listen, your team's name is really racist, and it's really offensive. And Jack Kent Cook's like, well, that's great. I don't really care. He's like, listen, why don't you partake in one of my people's traditions? We're going to go do a sweat lodge. So they do a sweat lodge. Jack starts, like, tripping balls in the sweat lodge, and he starts seeing how it feels to be a Native American and be degraded by this name. So he's like, all right, okay, we can deal with this. So the Redskins end up beating the Oilers in the Super Bowl. And after the Super Bowl, Mr. Cook has his change of heart. He announces it in front of everybody. And he's like, we're changing the name of this team. And we're changing it to the Washington Warriors to honor the Native Americans of this country. And everybody cheers and everybody's happy. And the chief, like, pats him on the back. And he's like, Mr. Cook, that was a great thing. Because if you hadn't done that, I was going to curse your DC sports teams. And he's like, by God, man, could you imagine that? A city that has three major sports teams and would possibly get a baseball team in 2005, maybe, being cursed to never win a championship again? That would be bloody insanity. The people of this area would all lose their damn minds. And then the chief says to him, oh, it would have been worse than that. They wouldn't even make it to the conference championships. In fact, your hockey team would choke three or four times. But at any rate, this one event changes everything because the DC sports teams are no longer cursed. In 2012, when Dale Hunter takes over as coach of the Capitals, they come back and they beat the Boston Bruins, which they actually did in real life. That was pretty cool. They beat the number one seed Bruins. They beat the number two seed New York Rangers on... They lost Game 5 in reality, and, you know, in Earth 1, on this really fluky penalty. They called Joel Ward for a double major for a high stick. And the Rangers scored the tying goal with, like, 2.5 seconds left. It's the latest goal that's ever been scored in NHL history, wow, ever. In the playoffs. And then they scored the next goal.
In the playoffs, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, then they scored the next goal to win the game. In this world, that never happens. Joel Ward gets the penalty, but the Caps manage to kill off the penalty before it happens. They win the game 2-1. They go on to win the series. They go on to win the Stanley Cup against the Los Angeles Kings. And Braden Holtby, who was a rookie goalie at the time, wins the Conn Smythe Trophy, which is the MVP for the playoffs. And this just changes everything in the DC landscape because now our team can win. This weird fluky shit doesn't keep happening anymore. We've got that one. So instead of the Washington Nationals in Game 5 against the St. Louis Cardinals blowing a 6-run lead, which was the biggest lead that's ever been lost in a pivotal game.
Painful.
Fucking Drew Storen finds a way to actually throw a strike instead of looking like an asshole and keep throwing like pitches right down the middle. And he strikes out Daniel Descalso to end the game. And what does he say at the end of the game? Well, if the Caps can win a world championship, then I can throw a strike or two. I'm just saying.
You just got to believe.
You just got to believe. That's all it took. And that changed everything. And it was all because of some mild hallucinations caused by dehydration for Jack Kent Cook in that sweat lodge. So there you go.
Drugs.
Yeah.
That's epic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to be on Earth 3.
I know, right? Oh, no, that's Earth 2 because the next one is Earth RG3. And we'll talk about that one later.
Oh.
So. Steve, you'll like that one. Earth RG3 is pretty fun.
Even the Seahawks don't want to go on that Earth right now.
I've been seeing that the Seahawks are talking about either signing him or signing
Kaepernick.
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 I would rather them see sign Kaepernick. I mean,
it's RG3, a no-brainer.
Yeah, RG3 right. Was my boy, and I rooted for him. But he's just like Obi-Wan said to Anakin. You know, you were the chosen one, RG3. You were supposed to lead us to the promised land, and you spoiled it, and you divorced your wife, and after knocking her up, and
mm-hmm. RG3 has. Is missing one key ingredient that all quarterbacks should have, and that's the inability to read a defense. and people take it for granted because it seems like everyone else can do it.
Yeah.
He can't do it.
He's like that guy you know who you play in Madden, right? And there's a couple of things they're really, really good at. So they're scoring on offense, right? Because you're not really paying attention. And then you realize, you're like, all right, this guy knows a couple of tricks, you know? It's like 21-21 going into, like, the fourth quarter. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to crack down and start playing some defense. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to disguise some blitzes. I'm going to put some, you know, Tampa 2, and I'm going to throw him off. And it just he just completely folds. And he starts, like, scrambling around randomly and just throwing prayers up, and then you wipe him out in the fourth quarter. That's RG3. RG3
like
is your... Yeah, he's like, RG3 is your shitty drunk friend that you played in college at Madden. Yeah.
He's like, oh, he's there. Just throw it. Something good will happen. I see it happen in Madden all the time. It just goes right through the defender.
Yeah, exactly. He jumps and the ball magically
shifts.
There's
no way I'll cartoonishly get sacked and my hands and legs and everything will explode. Right. That'll never happen.
Unless Hiloti Nada, he doesn't look that big. Let's go run at him instead of the sideline.
Oh, RG3, you stupid son of a bitch.
Hey, but his new fiance is... She's pretty hot.
How does he keep pulling that off? Because he's a goofy looking dude.
He has money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's all that sick Subway money.
Yeah.
Flavor Flav had a love reality show, so that just tells you everything. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
And he's a hobgoblin. So,
so I mean, money cures all.
Steve, I wrote one for you, too.
He was dating those women? I thought he was eating those women. Oh, God, I got to rewatch that show.
I wrote one for you specifically, for your city. Because, okay. Because I've always wondered what would have happened if Barry Bonds never went to the Giants and stayed in Pittsburgh. And
interesting.
Yeah, because it was I want to say it was the 92 season, right? Because they had lost to the Braves in the 91 season.
That was...
What'd you say?
After that season, like, that's when that long stretch of losing seasons happened until the late 2000s.
Yeah.
It was a 20-plus year stretch.
Yeah. So Barry Bonds decides to stay in Pittsburgh. He takes the home team discount because I don't know what happened. I don't know. He got hit in the head like Fred Flintstone style, and all of a sudden it changed his personality, and he stopped being like a selfish prick. And he stays in Pittsburgh because that's who drafted him. That's, you know, like, that's where he grew up. So that's his town, man. He's going to stay there. And the next season around is when they finally put it all together. They managed to beat the Braves and go on to the World Series, because that was the year that the Phillies – upset the Braves and went on to the World Series to subsequently get trounced by the Blue Jays. But this time, the Pirates finally get past the Braves. They go on. They beat Joe Carter and the Toronto Blue Jays and win the last World Series before the big strike. Like, I think it would have been cool if Pittsburgh had somehow managed to put it together and just, like, convinced Bonds, like, listen, bro, we don't have as much money as some of these other teams, but you stay with us. We've got the right formula. We got the right players together. We're going to do this. And then after we win a world championship, we're going to be able to have more money because there's no fucking salary cap.
I'm just saying, Andy Van Slyke deserved a ring.
Yes. I loved Andy Van Slyke. He actually played for the Orioles for a little bit. I got to meet him when I was a kid.
Yeah, him and Dre Beck, they deserved a ring.
Yeah, and Bobby Bonilla. I always like Bobby Bonilla because
I hate Bobby Bonilla.
You want to know?
Because I was a huge Mets fan.
Yeah.
And we have been paying Bobby Bonilla for the last 30 fucking years.
And that's why I love Bobby Bonilla. Because somebody said to him, like, everybody was laughing at him. They're like, Bobby, you signed a contract where you're making $1 million a year for the next, like, 30 years? Why didn't you get that money up front? You're so stupid. And he's like, fucking watch.
We
just watch.
Them played like a bum.
Yeah.
Got cut.
Yeah.
And has been collecting $1 million checks. Annually.
When he was sitting on the bench and they were like, Bobby, you ready to hit? He's like, nah, I got to go finish my hot dog in the clubhouse. And he'd go back in there and eat his hot dog. Like, he...
Savage.
There was a point There was a point in 2011. Ruffle. There was a point in 2011 when the Mets' salary for their outfield, Bobby Bonilla was the highest paid player in the outfield, and he hadn't played for 10 fucking years.
Damn.
Well done, Bobby.
Way to go, Bobby. Bobby, you the real MVP.
He's my new hero.
That dude's agent earned his paycheck.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah.
You think Bobby's just, like, cutting him a check, like, every year? Like, they just celebrate together, like the fucking, like, those old-ass Miami Dolphins players. Like,
right.
Anytime, like, an undefeated team, loses, they're all like, let's toast with champagne. Oh, I can't lift my arm past my shoulder. Like, it's...
Can you just imagine the faces of the Mets brass?
Yeah.
Who had nothing to do with that contract?
Yeah.
That still have to sign those contracts, and he comes walking in, all sashaying, and they'd have to begrudgingly hand that check over.
Bobby, I thought your knees were busted, man. And he's like, he's like strutting in there like Willie Mays Hayes from fucking Major League, like.
Bottle of Cristal.
Alive when they signed that contract.
Oh my god.
That are working for that team now.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's, oh my god, that's nuts. Steve, what you got next on your Elseworlds sports page?
I got a bunch of basketball ones, like about the NBA and stuff. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Oh, that's, that sounds,
I'm,
that sounds
I'm cool with it. As long as it's not like recent NBA. If it's like old NBA, then I'm all for it. But yeah, I'm not a...
There's some Jordan stuff, and I got some real old... Well, technically it wasn't the NBA, but it became the NBA. Pittsburgh had a pro basketball team for one season. They were Pittsburgh Iron Men, and they were
that sounds so dope.
40s.
Hell yeah!
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, the worst season you could possibly have of any team that's ever been part of any organization that's ever been associated, like became the NBA or was the NBA, first statistical team ever. So my Elseworlds is bring them back. Like the Seattle Supersonics, one team for the East, one team for the West, and let's get this thing going. Wins up in here for Pittsburgh.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay. That would be interesting. You know, yeah. I did something similar, too. And it ties in with my Elseworld for RG Earth RG3. So if you've been watching The Flash, you know that all the people on the planets – are essentially they have the same names, but sometimes their personalities are vastly different, right? So in this one, the person that has the vastly different personality is Dan Snyder. But instead of being called Danny's Danny, right? So he's generous and he's kind. He's a philanthropist. He's known to be a patient, thoughtful, caring owner. He trusts his coaches and his leadership of his team. But unfortunately, his good-natured personality hasn't yielded any success for the team on the field. They've been competitive, but they're missing something. They need a top-flight quarterback. Well, 2012 comes around, and Danny decides to take a risk on a college kid named Bobby Griffin. Why is his name Bobby Griffin? Because his real name is Robert Griffin III, but that sounds like some crusty old white guy who runs an investment firm, and no one would actually choose to call themselves that fucking name because it's stupid. He trades many of his draft picks to get Griffin. He's also, and this guy Bobby Griffin is also a top-flight baseball prospect. In fact, he's known to be one of the fastest people on the base paths. In fact, even when he doesn't need to slide, he slides because he loves sliding. It's one of his favorite things to do. He fucking loves sliding so much. Loves sliding so much. So as a football player for the Washington Football Club, because in this world, all football clubs are named like European football clubs. Like they're just called
like Washington. Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly. They're like Washington Football Club or like Baltimore Football Club. So he's known to be an incredibly talented athlete. He wins these games on the strengths of his legs and the ability to avoid big hits because he fucking slides all the time. But anyway.
Mike, yes. Can he, instead of sponsoring Subway,
yeah,
sponsor White Castle? And he's always like, look at these slider meals that we have.
Oh, I like that. I see what you did there.
I like that. I like that. And then even in the South, they have Crystal, which is also sliders. And then he just throws on a Southern accent. He's y'all.
He has all kinds of deals in downtown.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe he could do one of those United Way commercials where he reads to children.
There you go.
And maybe he could read defenses as well.
that's asking a lot, okay?
I see what you did there,
that's
too.
Asking a lot, okay? But at any rate, they make it all the way to the Uber Bowl, because that's what they call the Super Bowl in Earth 3. It's a long story why they call it that. Don't worry about it. But instead of playing the Baltimore Ravens, because the Baltimore Ravens don't exist, they play the Cleveland Football Club in the championship and beat the Cleveland Football Club. Because in this world, all of that expansion nonsense is fucking stopped. Because there are no Ravens. Because Cleveland never moves from Cleveland. Because you don't fucking do that. And the Colts never leave Baltimore because you don't leave a city. Especially a city that loved that team. And you don't fucking leave them in the middle of the night in a bunch of Mayflower moving trucks. Because that's a dick move.
Rest in peace, Armoda.
Fuck that guy. Fuck him and fuck the other dude from Baltimore. What was that guy's name? I can't remember his name. The guy that moved the Colts from Baltimore to Indianapolis.
Joe Flacco.
Yeah, Joe Flacco.
No, it was Armoda.
Ursay was the one that did that moved him from Baltimore. Modell was the one that moved him from Cleveland to Baltimore.
Oh, yes.
On cocaine.
What'd you say about cocaine?
Jim Irsay.
Oh, yeah.
He got, like, that one-year suspension because he got all fucked up on cocaine.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I can still run a team. So I got this, guys. guys, let's all do this.
He's Scott McLuhan's cousin.
But at any rate, eventually Indianapolis gets an expansion team, I guess, because fucking whatever. But, like, I don't know if you guys have ever been in Indianapolis, but it's about as exciting as a root canal. Like, it is the most boring city.
Is it worse than Atlanta?
No. In a different way. Atlanta is just a horrible cesspool where horrible things happen and people go to die and their highway systems falls apart and horrible things happen to their sports teams. Indianapolis just doesn't deserve a sports team, period. Like the Pacers? Like you're named after a car? Like their big claim to fame for the longest time was their arena.
Indianapolis 500?
Was the, yeah, well, ooh, race cars. Ooh. That's a reason to have sports teams. Hey, why should we come to Indianapolis? Well, we got this really fancy race thing that we do every year, and then when they win, they drink milk. That is the boringest fucking thing ever. Like, if you're going to win, have some champagne.
Wait, they drink milk.
They drink milk like assholes.
Are you serious?
Like, who drinks milk?
They pour milk all over their face like money
what?
Shots.
Like money shots?
Oh, my
shots?
God.
Oh, my gosh.
Who won the Indianapolis 500? Ah!
I did.
I've learned so much this evening.
Gush.
See, not only are we entertaining, we're also informative.
It's true.
Learn something, bitches.
Infotainment.
Infotainment. I like it.
Oh, God. Steve, what else you got, man? Or Jay, you know what? Let's give it to the panelists.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jay.
I mean, if you put me on the spot, I would love to create something where LeBron James ended up being a Sacramento King.
Oh, shit. The King playing for the Kings?
Yeah.
Like,
ooh, that kind of ties into one of mine that might have changed it then.
Hey, oh, yeah? Let's hear this.
Let's hear this, yeah.
So I had one where the NBA rule where you have to do 1 year of college, like, well before LeBron James came out of high school. So he had to play 1 year of college ball, which changes what team would have been picking first or picking, you know, like, so maybe it wasn't Cleveland that year. So in this case, we'll say it was Sacramento.
Okay.
Good at that time. That was early 2000s. That's when they had that bullshit series against the Lakers, right? With that, like, arguably the worst officiated game of any sport of all time.
Oh, yes. And I'm a Lakers fan, and I can admit that was a terribly officiated game.
Let's say that's what it is. So, like, LeBron had to play a year of college. He played for Ohio State University, played his 1 year, and now he has to play for the Kings.
Okay.
Worst team, and they picked him first overall. So there's our scenario.
I can smoke a bag of that.
What? I don't even have anything.
Like, for the Kings, or like, what made you decide the Sacramento Kings was a good landing spot?
Because they suck. And they're in the West, because on my sports podcast, the biggest argument I get into is how great LeBron is. But my argument against that is he is effectively playing a JV schedule in the East.
If he was in the West, it would be a real challenge. Is what you're saying?
Right. So they talk about how he took the Cavs to the finals early in his career, and they got swept by the Spurs. So if he could have done that with the Kings, I would give him so much more credit.
Harder schedule, like you're not getting the one seed in the playoffs. Yeah,
harder schedule, still no supporting cast really to speak of, because, you know, posing that Weber and Divac and Turkoglu and all those guys are gone from the Kings, and it's just him and whoever the hell.
And somehow Kevin Johnson comes out of retirement. Stops being the mayor of Sacramento and suits up.
Suits up just to help him out because he feels bad for the city's prized cow.
Yeah. One of the ones that I wanted to do, and we got to give it to Viv because she wants it. She's are you actually a Cowboys fan?
I am definitely a Cowboys.
You grew up in Colorado. You are? Why are you not a Broncos fan?
Okay. Well, backstory: the reason that I'm a Cowboys fan is because I'm a Broncos fan.
Okay.
And let me tell my story.
Oh, here it goes.
In 1986, the Broncos played the Redskins in the Super Bowl.
I remember fondly. Okay.
Oh, that was a good game.
Yeah, the Redskins
won.
Oh,
now I know why. Now I know why you're a Cowboys fan.
Exactly. I'm getting there.
Okay.
Not only did they beat the Broncos, they murdered the Broncos.
42-10.
Beat the devil out of them. Yeah.
A year later, I moved here to Virginia, and I waited for the Broncos to play the Redskins again. But they're in different divisions. And so I had to find another team that would take their place here in this division. And so
Vivian, you diabolical bastard.
That's right. I chose the evil Cowboys because I hate the fucking Redskins. And it all stems back to my Broncos. So now you have my backstory.
Okay.
And
per respectable football fan rules, you are allowed to have one team in the NFC and one team in the AFC.
So I don't break the rules. That's right. I'm under contract with both teams.
We can't call you a bitch. Mm-mm. Unless you're like, well, I like the Redskins and I like the Giants and I like the you. No, you don't.
I'm loyal to my divisions. No. I'm loyal to my divisions. Yeah. So Cowboys have it on one side and Broncos have my heart always because I'm from Denver.
Whenever we get around to doing Rogue Sports, I have a laid out plan for fan free agency.
I like this. Okay.
It's really in depth. You'll fucking love it.
A fan free agency. Steve, mm-hmm. are you down for this, man?
Obviously.
Yes. Okay. All right. Do I have to ask? Okay.
Well, if I could change anything in an alternative universe, I mean, I'm just going to go easy because you guys know I'm not huge. It's not that I'm not a huge sports fan.
Yeah.
I am just not into it. I don't know names or statistics like you guys. But I would just change the Cowboys playoff games last season where we lost to the fucking Packers.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers was money in a bank.
Oh, my God. I would hope that Aaron Rodgers had broke anything, a pinky, a toe, a rib, a neck, something to keep him out of that game.
A neck.
Because he was fucking solid, and it was just such a good game. But that would be my change. We would have won. We would have gone on.
You guys want to do an Aaron Rodgers one?
I'm sorry, is that
again? Yeah, let's do an Aaron Rodgers one. I like that idea.
Ooh. What if Aaron Rodgers did not fall in the draft and the 49ers took him instead of Alex Smith?
Oh.
And he played his career for the 49ers in California, where he grew up and played like at Cal U. What do you guys think about that one?
I think that would make a huge difference to that franchise.
Oh, because
the difference between Rodgers and Smith was a game manager, accurate passer, but he's not going to be wowing anybody with his athleticism. Remember early in Rodgers' career when he would just be like, defense is breaking down, fuck it, I'm running. And he'd run like a 40-yard, like, QB like a QB run and like slide at the end. Like he wasn't like dazzling people with his speed, but the guy was athletic.
Oh,
like
yeah.
He doesn't do that anymore because he's been beaten down so much. But like, I mean, I see him changing that franchise and the 49ers get way better, way faster.
Well, I'm going to counterpoint that and say I don't think Rodgers is as good because he doesn't have that time to sit like he did in Green Bay sitting behind Brett Favre.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
And he got to learn the ropes from a Hall of Famer. He got to see Favre's late-game interceptions that, you know, killed the more chances for championships for the Packers. If he goes to the 49ers, he's playing right away and may not have had the same amount of success. I mean, there was no doubt he had the arm and the talent.
Yeah.
I just think that really good quarterbacks that get drafted in the top half of the draft more often than not don't succeed because the team around them sucks so bad.
Yeah.
And but then you start.
All right. Well, not a what if then, but just kind of dovetailing off that for like Garoppolo being really good then, based on the same criteria that he's been sitting behind Brady for forever on a good team.
Yeah.
Right.
When it's his turn to take that over, if they keep him, you think he's going to be good?
Yeah, I do.
I do.
I think that the reason that he didn't get sent somewhere else is the Patriots have plans for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's going to happen is you're going to get like two or three more years out of Brady. Mm. What's going to happen is he's going to get
Brady's going to be 43 playing.
He's going to get one more championship is what's going to happen. Once he gets that final Super Bowl, then he's going to pull a fucking Peyton Manning, except he's not a dickhead like Manning is, and he's going to be like, hey, I'm hanging it up. But he's not going to do that bullshit thing where he was like, I got an endorsement deal with Budweiser. Look at my big fucking forehead. I'm going to drink a Budweiser. Fuck you. God, I hate the Mannings. Like, what a dick, too, man. Like, I went out on top. No, you didn't. You were like 11 for 37 with 165 yards. You didn't do shit in this game. Von Miller won the goddamn Super Bowl, and you're sitting there like, I'm going out on top. Bop, 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 bop. Go the fuck back to Tennessee, you asshole.
I'm a fan of Mike Lunsford.
I don't care. He still brought my Broncos a ring. So
son of a bitch. And that's the thing.
I don't remember that Super Bowl. Von Miller played quarterback that game, right?
Yes, he did. That's the thing, is I like the Broncos. Mm. Like, my cousin Donnie is a huge Broncos fan. Like, my Uncle Steve lived in Colorado for years, so I have a tie to Denver. You know, I like the Broncos, I like the Avalanche, I like the Rockies. Like, they're never going to be, like, my favorite teams, but I root for them, you know, mm-hmm. because I want to see my family happy. But fuck Peyton Manning. I hate that dickhead so much. Flip that, though. Peyton Manning doesn't go to the Broncos. He goes to the Redskins. I love Peyton Manning.
So true.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I would be defending him, too. I'd be like, what are you talking about? He's a great man. That never happened. He didn't teabag that girl in Tennessee. Bah, 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 bah.
You made me snort. Stop it.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. I want to try this one, too, Steve, because it just happened and it's still raw. So let's talk about this Penguins-Capitals series for a second, okay?
Oh, are you sure you
okay.
Yeah. This was – okay. The Caps lost in Game 7, and the reason why they lost in Game 7 is because they came out
which
fucking –
which year are we talking about? This year or
annually.
I hate you. So the annual rite of passage where the Caps break our hearts again and then increase their ticket prices the next year. So, in games,
they come out with a new jersey or something.
Exactly, a bunch of dickheads. So, what ends up happening in this game? Okay, this is what I saw. The Caps came out flat and they looked like assholes. Like in Game 7 at home, they looked like shit, and that really mm-hmm. irked me. But in their defense, there were three instances where at one point Ovi got this amazing breakaway. He shoots the puck, and I've never ever seen this in a hockey game before. Marc-Andre Fleury manages to block the puck with the nub of his stick, the top little thing. Like it's basically like holding a baseball bat upside down and
like
hitting a home run.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's like holding mm-hmm. it upside down and hitting a fucking home run. He manages to do this shit somehow, blocks this shot. Nick Backstrom hits a ridiculous slap shot, hits the post. TJ Oshie hits the post. Evgeny Kuznetsov hits the post. That's four possible goals that were a matter of millimeters away from being a goal.
Damn.
I'm not saying that the Pittsburgh Penguins shouldn't have won that game. What I'm saying is again, since we're doing this Elseworlds thing, gravity on the Earth has shifted just slightly one way or the other. The Caps are in the Eastern Conference Final right now playing the Senators. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
Like, I understand that oftentimes the better team wins. Pittsburgh was the better team last year. They smoked the Capitals in the playoffs. That's why they won in six games. This series, I didn't feel like was that. I feel like there were times when the Caps should have been the better team, but I also feel like there was a lot of fluky shit in this series. Like that phantom call in game one where they called the whistle on the puck being frozen. They said, oh, Fleury covered it. It turned out it wasn't Fleury. It was fucking Daly. Daly was on top of the puck in game one.
Right.
You can't do that. That's a two-minute minor. Mm-hmm. So, like, all I'm saying is I'm not trying to be a bitter asshole about this, okay? Like, I understand that Pittsburgh won, and they were a really fucking good team. They won the cup last year. But as a Pittsburgh fan, did you notice this stuff, or is it one of those things where you're like, my team's winning, I'm sticking my fingers in my ear, la, 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 la?
No, I mean, like, whenever you're rooting for your team, like, I can't tell you how many times I've screamed at the TV watching a Steelers game, like, that's fucking holding. Why are you calling that for the Ravens and not us? Like, I get like that. I mean, yeah. You just came through a different lens when it's your team versus if I'm watching fucking Packers Bears, I really don't give a shit who wins that game.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it evenly, or you can see that if there is some bad calls or whatnot.
Yeah.
Only that home team, you kind of see things differently, or the team you're rooting for or whatever. But yeah, no, I mean, sometimes the game doesn't always go to the better team, and sometimes it goes to the lucky one, or sometimes it's a combination. And I don't think you'll find a team out there in any sport that says, oh yeah, we won the championship 100% because we're better than everyone else.
Yeah.
It was a combination of hard work, skill, and luck. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Every team has ever won a championship. That's the formula.
Yeah. It's just right place at the right time.
Your guy's not hurt during the regular season. That's luck right there to even get that far. So, I mean, like, there's no doubt about it. Luck plays a huge element in every sport, every championship that's ever been won.
Yeah. I do want to say this real quick because I haven't gotten a chance to say it on the air. And I said it on Facebook. But anybody out there right now who is a Washington Capitals fan or any other fan of any other team and is questioning the leadership skills of Alex Ovechkin and saying that it's his fault that that team didn't succeed and that they didn't go on to win that game. Did not see the post sent out by Alex Ovechkin's wife of a bruise that started at his knee, wrapped all the way around his thigh, and went all the way up to his hip. The guy was playing with he was playing with partially torn ligaments in his knee, and he had a deep thigh bruise that took up all of his thigh. There was more bruise than there was thigh.
Wow. Yeah, I just said it was hamstring.
Yeah. Oh, so it was the other side. Okay. But either way, like, to sit there and question this guy and say that he's like, oh, he's soft. Oh, he doesn't know how to win. Like, the guy was playing on practically like a broken leg.
If you watch that game, you can tell that Ovi was not Ovi.
Yeah.
He wasn't flying around.
Almost scored that goal.
Exactly. Like when he got on a breakaway, he couldn't pull away. Yeah. Normally he would do some kind of move. He didn't.
He couldn't.
Because he couldn't.
Yeah.
But nobody ever looks at that kind of thing like, that looked weird. Ovi doesn't usually do that.
He's the anti-Jay Cutler. When Jay Cutler was like, my knee kind of hurts. I'm going to sit out the NFC Championship.
Right. He goes in and plays.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was a whole other thing that somebody brought up, that the Penguins sat their hurt players.
Yeah.
And the Caps maybe should have done the same thing, but it's whatever.
Yeah.
Like you said, a few inches here and there, they win the game.
Yeah.
And it's a whole different story. But
yeah. I've never seen a game. I mean, like, because I love hockey. In fact, I love the Capitals. I grew up with this team. Like, my aunt used to work at the ticket center for the Capitals Center back in the day, and I used to go to these games when I was a little kid. So I'm closer to this team than I am to any of the other sports teams, proximity-wise. Like, I've been around them more. Mm-hmm. And, like, I've just never seen any team with such shit luck. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it before. I've never seen so many shots go off the crossbar, off the post. I've never seen – like, that 2 years ago when they played the Rangers in the finals, Game 7 goes into overtime. Holtby makes that amazing save, and the blocker – the puck hits off the blocker and just happens to kind of like flip like knuckle puck Keenan Thompson style.
Right.
Like right into that guy's lap, hits him in the stomach and he goes, oh shit, there's a puck. Drops it right in front of him, shoots the game winning goal. Like series winning goal. Like that shit doesn't happen. Like that's why I'm thinking that's why that Jack Kent Cook story. Like I think that this city is, there's something that somebody did at some point that they pissed off some Sumerian god or something like that.
It's me. They pissed off me when they beat my Broncos.
You son of a bitch.
And I've been cursing you guys ever since.
It's something.
Thanks, Doug Williams.
it's definitely something.
I'm going to go find Doug Williams. I'm going to kick his ass.
He's at Redskins Park. He's
just doing another apartment. Just doing nothing, putting his feet up on a desk.
Collecting a check and saying, yeah, that draft pick sounds good.
I'm Doug Williams and I approve this draft pick.
Pretty much.
Steve, you got anything else, man?
Who, me?
Yeah. Yeah, you. You're the only Steve.
Oh, right. I got two MJ ones.
Ooh.
And no, I don't mean Michael Jackson.
Aw.
Yeah, two Michael Jordan ones that I think are kind of interesting. So, about when Michael Jordan was drafted in 84, do you know how that draft went?
Sam Bowie.
Sam Bowie went first, yeah, didn't he?
Correct. Well, he went second. Rockets took Olajuwon, which, like, no brainer. I mean, the guy's freaking, like, one of the best hosts. But yeah, the Blazers are like, we need some height. Let's take this 7-1 Sam Bowie instead of Michael something or other. Big mistake. You can't really know until you know. So the what if would be, what if the Blazers decided to take Michael Jordan? And I think that kind of ties into my second one. What if Michael Jordan never left the NBA for his career? So, I mean, there's two versions of that. One, he's on the Bulls. Hakeem Olajuwon, did they beat those Rockets? Because they won those two championships in between when Jordan was off, quote. I don't know. I think he could beat them. They beat some really good teams from the West during their run. Like, they beat those supersonic. They didn't have anyone quite as talented in the post they were played against, but they played against Patrick Ewing freaking every season all the time. If they could handle Olajuwon.
Yeah, yeah. The one that I want to know about, though, is, and you brought it up, your line broke up there for just a second, though.
I'm sorry.
Do we think that Jordan would have seen any backlash because there was that investigation into his gambling problems? Do we think that if he doesn't leave for baseball? Now, granted, too, do you think that the NBA gave him a break because his dad had just died?
I mean, there's a lot of theories about that. I mean, there's nothing that's ever been definitively proven, but like, there's a lot of stuff where they're kind of like, go play baseball for 2 years and then come back and talk to us. Like, kind of the hush hush thing that was always talked about, right?
Yeah. Jay, what's your take on this, man?
As far as the gambling is concerned?
The gambling and the baseball and, like, his dad dying. Like, I mean, do you think that the NBA, essentially, like, David Stern was like, listen, bro, you're fucking Michael Jordan. You're the biggest thing in basketball, but this is some shit we can't ignore. Maybe you should go lay low for a while. Like, because, I mean, we've seen that the NBA, I mean, now it's a little bit different with Silver in charge, but before, there was a lot of underhanded shit going on. There was the Donaghy stuff, like... Do you think the Donaghy stuff was
David Stern essentially handing the Knicks Patrick Ewing?
Yeah.
There's been lots of
the frozen envelope theory.
Yeah, the frozen envelope, Jesus Christ.
I can see that happening. I can see David Stern going to him and saying, "Hey, look, if this goes any further and they dig any deeper, it could tarnish your legacy." I always felt like the passing of his father put him in a this is my mortality, like I am mortal. And you know, a lot of people, as they get older, they go and do things that they wish they had always done.
Okay,
so I'm thinking his father dies, incredibly emotional, you know, wins the championship.
Yeah.
And baseball was what connected him and his father during his early days, so he's thinking to himself, why not just go and do that now?
Yeah.
You know, while, you know, the memory of my father's passing is fresh in my mind, or, you know, getting murdered. And he went and did it. And being as cocky as Michael Jordan is, he probably thought, hey, I'm going to go out here. I'm a good enough athlete. I think a few days in training camp and I'll be straight. And he went and did it.
Yeah.
Knowing that he could come back. So... you could couple that with the gambling thing and be like, hey, David Stern's probably like giving him a thumbs up. Like, hey, this is perfect timing, bro. Just come back and see us when you're ready. But
we'll build a statue for you. We'll give you a sweet new jersey. And then you can go back to the old jersey. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
But going to Steve's scenario.
Yeah.
If Jordan doesn't go play baseball, they win 7 in a row at least.
So you don't think anybody's stopping them?
I don't think so.
They win those first three. They win another fourth and a fifth. And then those next three, maybe we're talking 8 in a row?
7 or 8. Yeah. Damn. Because the Rockets won the back-to-back in the year that he was gone, and then the year they came back, because he came back rusty and they lost to Orlando in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that could have been very realistically 8 wins in a row in the finals.
Yeah, he would have shut things down.
Yeah. I think they would have handled Houston.
Yeah,
I don't see Kenny the Jet Smith, or Robert Horry, you know, or Sam Cassell doing the things that they were doing with Scotty and MJ out there guarding the perimeter.
Nah. Yeah,
I mean, the only thing that it could have changed is if they kept that same core together, like the team that eventually won that second trio of games with Rodman and Kerr, and then the various role players, you know, your Tony Kukoc, Judd Butchler, that kind of stuff.
Judd Butchler.
Love Judd.
Is that the same lineup, or do they do more, you know, to try and keep the core that had just won 5 in a row, some bad choices with the salary cap? You know, do they try and keep someone they should have? Do they try and keep, what's his name, John Paxson, instead of, you know, getting a Steve Kerr? Maybe he just doesn't have it anymore. So, I mean, it could affect them against, say, the Jazz in one of those two series.
Right. Yeah.
The Jazz were a damn good team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were great.
So maybe they're losing one of those. They win 6. They win 7 in a row. They play the Jazz. They lose one series to the Jazz. Huh.
Yeah. Maybe they split. They meet twice like they did, and they split it because they didn't have the same exact roster because they tried to keep the core together, but you never know.
Okay.
But I think that was the beauty.
I feel like the Jazz were
teams.
Like, they're like the Knicks. Like they just, that team would have won championships any other time.
Yeah.
Jordan era, because they had such talent. God, the 90s were good for basketball.
Yeah. Like just imagine this
for
a second.
The golden era of basketball.
For the ultimate bandwagon team, because just all of y'all flashback, right? Flashback to middle school, to high school, when everybody was wearing starter jackets. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, nobody was a fucking from North Carolina at this point, but everybody was a goddamn Charlotte Hornets fan. Because the
starter jackets were tight.
Because those uniforms were cool as shit. Like, I was a Charlotte Hornets fan, man. Like, that team, that team where they had Muggsy, they had Alonzo, they had LJ, they had Kendall Gill.
Curry.
Del Curry. Yeah, like, you don't have – that team lost in the first round to the Bulls in the playoffs. You don't have the Bulls around. All of a sudden, we might be seeing the Charlotte Hornets with a championship. Then the Charlotte Hornets don't leave – to go to New Orleans to become the Pelicans, and then the whole that Bobcat bullshit where they become the Hornets again.
Yeah, but then that fucks up my real universe on Earth One, where Charlotte drafts Kobe and trades him to the Lakers for Vlade Divac.
Oh, okay.
So, I can't vibe with that one.
All of a sudden, all of a sudden, Kobe's on the team with Zoe, because Zoe never goes to Miami because the owner isn't a piece of shit and runs him out of town. Like, I think
so they're not going after Shaq then. So I mean that ruins that early 2000s.
Yeah. Whoa. Repeat. Look at us, man. We change one thing and it changes everything. Jeez. Butterfly effect.
I know. Yeah. I love it. Crazy. That's Flash why point. I wanted to do this.
Yeah. And this is what I was hoping for too. I think one of the ones that I want to go into real quick. And before we close out, because we only got a little bit left before we need to wrap things up. I'm a huge baseball fan. Baseball is like my first. That was the sport that I played. That was the one that I loved the most. That was the one that if I could be a professional anything, I'd want to be a baseball player. Mm-hmm. The strike was just gut-wrenching. Like, I remember not having baseball, and it was horrible.
Sucked.
The strike doesn't happen.
And that's a good one.
And here's why I want this to happen. Because you had Matt Williams, you had Ken Griffey Jr., and there was one other player. It was Barry Bonds. Were on pace to all beat Maris's record, the 61 home runs in a year. Mm. You now have, instead of Barry Bonds, who beats it, who is tainted by all of his steroid allegations, Matt Williams, who's just a piece of shit in general, but you have Ken Griffey Jr., who played clean. The Golden Boy. You have the Golden Boy beat Maris's record instead.
Oh, man.
Do you see what this does to baseball now? Like, people have faith in baseball like they've never had faith before. He breaks the record. The fucking Mariners actually keep that core of Griffey and A-Rod and Randy Johnson together. They have Jamie Moyer pitching for them, too. They have Jay Buhner. They have Edgar Martinez.
Was B.J. Surhoff still on that team?
No, Surhoff was on the Orioles at this point.
Okay.
But you have that awesome Seattle Mariners team that rides that into the playoffs. They play the fucking Montreal Expos, who were leading the league in wins at that time. They play the Montreal Expos in the World Series that year. Montreal now is like a viable team. People are interested in the team again. They don't fucking leave. They don't become the Nationals. That one event of the strike never happening changes everything. Because the Mariners win a fucking World Series. They actually go to one. They beat the Expos. The Expos end up being a more viable team again. They start dethroning the Braves, so we don't have to deal with that bullshit. Well, the Braves won 14 championships in a row. Fuck Atlanta. Okay? Montreal becomes the powerhouse in the
East. This is all clever ruse. To get rid of Atlanta.
Basically, yeah, thank you. Atlanta moves to D.C. No, I'm just kidding. They become the Nationals. No, they basically just become a franchise.
You wouldn't want that.
No, I wouldn't want that. That would make me
That's like being a Green Lantern with the yellow corruption in there, Mike. You wouldn't want the heart of your team being the Braves.
No, it would just be wrong. All of a sudden, I got to see, like, fucking Tom Glavine pitching for the Nationals. Ugh, gross. No.
You don't want that.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
You don't want to win that way.
Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby. but I think that D.C. would get a team eventually. They would be an expansion team.
Okay.
After that you had post-expansion, which was the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. So instead of the Devil Rays, which is the stupidest name ever, and the worst stadium on the face of the planet. I don't know if you guys have ever been to this thing, but like the
Is it Tropicana Field?
Tropicana Field. It's slanted. Like from the outside. It's at an angle. Not only that, the roof, it's like this roof in this room. Like people are hitting fly balls and hitting this thing all the time. It's Florida. It's beautiful and sunny all the goddamn
time.
Nobody
goes there.
Why not make a retractable stadium? Like Miami did. Miami's stadium is awesome. Their team sucks, but their stadium is awesome.
Right.
Like, why not do something like that in Tampa? But it doesn't matter because they don't get a fucking team. It goes to D.C. So you have the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Washington Nationals instead. Or the Washington – whatever the fuck they want to call them then.
Or the Northern Virginia Nationals.
I'm okay with this too. Yes. Okay.
Virginia never gets anything.
Well, it's because we're so close to D.C. We're like the largest – we're the most populated state – without a professional sports franchise. But that's because we got Daddy DC right above us. So, yeah. So there's that. I think. I mean, that's the one that I've always wondered is what would happen if the strike never happened. Now, granted, a lot of good things happened for the players because of the strike. But I mean, still, I would have liked to have seen Griffey. Because that's the other thing too is for a while we were all rooting for A-Rod. All us baseball purists were hoping A-Rod was going to break the home run record because he was clean. And then we found out that he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
None of them were.
Yeah, when they found out that, like, apparently, like, in order to sign with the Texas Rangers, one of the things you signed on the contract was, hey, you got to inject steroids in your butt, because that's what we do here in Texas. Woo.
Yeehaw. I think they put,
like, a bowl of pills right by, like, the pen that you used to sign with. Like,
yeah. Well, know, just... George W. Bush is there, like all coked up. He's like, hey, which one of you is doing steroids next? Come on, let's do it. Woo.
Hey, well, I got one for you.
Okay.
In the 92 draft,
yeah.
The Orioles are picking fourth.
Yeah.
The Yankees are picking sixth.
Okay.
Do you know who the Yankees took?
Jeter.
And do you know who the Orioles took?
No.
Jeffrey Hammonds.
I remember Jeffrey Hammonds. I liked him.
Right. Solid player.
But here's the thing. Why are you gonna take Jeter when you got fucking Ripken in 92? This is fresh off of Ripken's MVP season.
Yes. But four years later, he makes the move to third base.
I see what you're saying.
So why not take Jeter, because, I mean, nobody would have expected him to jump right to the majors like he did.
Yeah.
But you take Jeter
in
Baltimore. Cal goes in and slides over because he's a humble guy and sees that Jeter is the future.
Jeter's the stud, yeah.
And Jeter becomes what he is for the Orioles.
I just, in defense of Jeffrey Hammonds, dude had just come off a gold medal with the Team USA in the Olympics, and he wasn't a bad player for a while.
But he's not
Jeter. He's no Jeter, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would, wow. I didn't even think about that. That's a good one.
And think about how that changes the hierarchy of the Yankees resurgence.
Yeah, that crushes it. Well, no, because they had a really, really good team.
They had
man.
A really, really good team.
If you look
but
at,
I think Jeter was the glue that because he, I mean, wasn't.
He was never the best player on those teams.
Right, never the best player, but their reign coincides with
just
him.
To use a Pittsburgh parlance here for Steve, Hines Ward was never their best receiver. He was never the best player on the field, but he had all of those intangibles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was an amazing blocker. Apparently, he's like a black belt in some sort of martial art or something.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
That's dope.
He was in a Batman movie.
Dude, he would get into people's heads so many times, dude. Like,
great trash talker.
Oh, yeah. My God, I miss that.
Yeah.
And I just want to give props to your Steelers. I think the Steelers are the most well-run organization in the NFL.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
just how they handle their players, how they handle draft picks, you know, how they handle their free agents. Most of their free agents, when they go to another team, they either suck or retire. They just have it tuned in. And Mike Tomlin is my favorite NFL coach right now in the league.
He just works so well. Like, I think that's one of the things that is so overlooked is the chemistry of the coach with the attitude of the city and the players.
Yeah.
Hardest thing to find. And, like, you're always seeing coaches getting fired, moving all over the place. And they just found, like, a glove that fits on the hand of Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin. Like, he just fits seamlessly into the city.
Yeah.
Straight out of Hampton, Virginia.
That's I wanted to talk about that too, because I want an outsider's perspective on this, Steve. What is it with DC sports? Because you've seen the Wizards now. The Wizards had an amazing Game 6. John Wall hit that incredible three, but in Game 6, the Capitals in Game 6 stomped the shit out of the Penguins. But not in the pivotal game. Do you see what I'm saying? What is it about this city from an outsider's perspective that their sports teams just can't get over the hump?
Well, and it's the weirdest thing because it seems like their biggest player game is the one that lets them down. It's never something like weird. So, I mean, like, yeah, I understand that there was some like physical ailments. But like when you needed him, he wasn't there for a reason. John Wall missed his last 11 shots against Boston in that game 7, the elimination game. Like,
wow.
Do your big names go? And I think that's the thing is that. It just seems, and I don't know why. I don't know what it's in the water there, but it just seems like Washington is a phenomenal regular season team.
Yeah.
And then their big stars have all this pressure put on their shoulders. Like, you guys are amazing. You have the team. This is the year. Everyone's hopes are pinning on you. And then acts their star somehow. And I'm hoping it's not kind of like a Chicago Cubs kind of thing where, like, just perpetually not making it. And then the weight of a whole city is sitting on you. Like, you're the team. You're the guys this time. Because that's just adding extra pressure on top of coming from the playoffs and just being at that pinnacle of competition. I don't know if that's what's causing it. Like, I don't know if it's a self-fulfilling kind of curse or not. But that's just the trend that I see is or pressure or whatever. The big star in the game seven or the elimination game is the one that flops. It's never some role player that fucks up.
Yeah. Unless you're Mike Green. You remember Mike Green in game seven against the Rangers, and he had two penalties in a row.
Penalties.
Oh, my God. And I found it on Twitter because I have that time hop thing on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, if Mike Green is here next year, I'm going to go find him and beat his ass. Like I'm finding these old tweets of how angry I am at him.
You're going to run down to Kettler and
I'm going to kick his ass, his spiky-haired, tattooed, stupid ass.
Run his ass over with a Vespa.
I shook Knight to take him out.
Hey, look at this tie-in to our show. If you didn't hear the news feed, I'll have it up later tonight, so you should hear it.
Those are interesting thoughts.
Like, I don't know. It's the problem that I run into, and if you watched me on social media, you saw it this year. Like, at one point, I said, if you know me, you know what I'm doing, but we're not talking about it, when I was watching the Capitals game. And then somebody was like, you're not going to curse the Capitals. It's not like they're the Redskins. And then Sidney Crosby scored two goals in a row. And I was like, this is why you don't talk about the game. I was like, do you see what happens? This is your fault.
That's so funny.
And, like, I went off on a tangent, and, like, my buddy Ulysses was, like, laughing at me. He was like, man, I've never seen you that mad. He was like, you were in all caps. Like, you were.
He said all caps. It's funny because of my mom, you know, being a Cowboys fan, I have the same experience you guys have with teams just falling apart at the last minute.
Yeah.
And my mom, whenever I'm watching
the game. How fucking weird is that? That like DC and Dallas.
They do it.
They have this shared brotherhood of ineptitude. How fucked up is that?
But every time I'm watching.
Jugular.
just end it.
Like, I mean, every time I'm watching a game with my mom, though. And we're
you
doing,
have a lot in common with your worst enemy.
It's true. I mean, that's probably why they hate each other the most.
Jay.
I've slept with plenty of Cowboys, man.
Hang on, Jay. Jay, DC and Dallas are Eskimo brothers. We both get fucked by the same playoffs. Whoa.
Indeed.
Whoa. Did you see what just happened?
That's deep, bro.
Oh, my God. Anyways.
I'm sorry.
Back to my mom's story.
Yeah, back to your mom. Let's not tie your mom and Eskimo brothers into this again. No, let's not do that at all.
Every time I'm watching a game with her and the Cowboys are ahead and I start to get cheer, she looks at me and she goes, don't look at him. Don't look him in the eye because every time you look at them, they fuck you over. I'm like, you're absolutely right. We turn the game off, and we end up winning. Yeah. We watch them. We end up losing.
I'm very superstitious.
I am too. With hockey, super superstitious. Yeah.
Like in game six, I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
See.
So and they kicked ass. So I was like, yes.
Yeah.
But I feel like I fucked the mojo up.
Yeah.
Because I went put on a fucking red shirt and watched game seven.
It was your fault, you dick. No, it's we all do that. Like, I have a bobblehead. I have a Capitals bobblehead on my desk. And whenever they get on a losing streak, instead of him facing me, because Jason Chimera can face me if they win, because he, you know, I deserve to look him in the eye. Uh-huh. But if they're on a losing streak, I flip him around and turn him around. I'm like, you don't deserve my eye contact, you piece of shit.
See?
And when I do that, they get back on the winning track. I'm like, okay. So, like, during the playoffs, I did the same thing. I turned him around, and then they lost after I turned him around. Like, that game seven, and I was like, you're done. You're not even allowed on my desk anymore. Like, I put him in my drawer. I was like, fuck you, Jason. You're done.
But
like,
here's what I think is wrong with DC teams.
Yeah.
I think that because DC is such a transient area.
Yeah.
And there's so many fucking Cowboys, Giants, Pittsburgh fans.
Yeah.
Like Steve was saying about having the pressure of the whole city on your back.
Yeah.
I think it's the opposite. I think the fact that you don't have the entire city riding for you.
I see what you're saying.
So you're saying you got a weird blend of people who care way too much and people who don't give a shit at all.
Because, or people that are just straight hating.
You got to think about it like this, Steve. Okay, so like at a Steelers game, if you go to a Steelers game, right, the mix of fans that are there. It's about 90% Steelers and then 10% whatever the other team is, right?
That's true at any football stadium.
Except for FedEx.
Not here. FedEx. Not here, my friend. And in D.C., if you go to a Redskins game and they're playing any team, it doesn't matter what team it is.
But most specifically, Pittsburgh, yeah. Dallas, Giants.
New York, Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Philly.
Yeah. When I went to a Tampa.
When the Steelers are playing, wherever they are, it's 90% Steelers fans,
yeah, that's true.
10% everybody else.
Yes. Yeah.
Steelers fans are everywhere. Steelers but, like, I'll give you an example. I went to a Buccaneers game, Buccaneers-Redskins. Nobody's a Buccaneers fan. Like, there's no such thing. They don't exist.
Wait, what's a Buccaneers?
Exactly. There's, like, 10 of them. There's like, 10 of them. I know one person that's a Buccaneers fan, and he does that because he's a douchebag. Because he just likes being different than everybody else.
Oh, they have cannons in their stadium.
Shut up. You're an asshole.
He likes creamsicle jerseys.
Exactly, yeah. He likes a lot of creamsicle things. But
well, he does make a point there. Yeah.
But they show up in droves because of the nature of the city. And I think you're really on to something. Because think about it. If D.C., if Ovi and the Capitals turn to their fans and they look and they see that everybody is behind them and there's like five or six Penguins fans there up in the rafters who are trying to cheer, but the Caps fans are like, shut the fuck up, you know, like, and throwing stuff at them.
Right.
All of a sudden that changes everything. If they know that the city is behind them, but not only that, even people who just live here. Because in Pittsburgh, and Steve, we've talked about this before, everybody that's there is mostly, for the most part, a native. You don't have a lot of people that are like here, where how many people do you know that are from Pittsburgh? Like,
right.
Two of my best friends are from Pittsburgh, and I met them down here.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of people in the D.C. area that are like, yeah, I'm just going to move to Exton or King of Prussia.
Yeah, you know. Hey, I'm going to go move to Greensburg, you know? Like, it's not like it is D.C. because it's government, it's all that stuff. Like, what jobs are there in Pittsburgh that are bringing people in, Steve?
Yeah.
A steel mill.
You can go work at PNC Park and sell hot dogs.
Or the Link.
Oh, that's
I would
in Philly.
Do that job.
I would do that, yeah. Selling wieners? Yeah, I know you'd be good at that job, Steve.
Yeah.
Get your wieners!
Actually,
with white mustard.
Of all of the stadiums I've been to, PNC Park, their baseball stadium where the Pirates play, is fucking gorgeous. That is probably the nicest stadium I've ever been to.
If you go sit on the third baseline, because that's where you get the whole view of the city, the stadium, plus it's a great view of the game itself.
Yeah, like the river's right there, the bridges are there, like there's it's
we should go. I've never been.
Well, there you go. We're gonna have a Comics Online Pirate Radio / Rock Deep Rogue Radio mashup, and we're gonna go to Pittsburgh. We fucking awesome.
Third baseline.
Yep. Oh yeah, we're gonna sit in section like 126. That's about where you want to be.
We'll get a sandwich with a bunch of bullshit on it. It'll be fucking awesome.
I'll bring my catcher's mask on.
Well, I have a whole bunch of entrees and sides, and then one fucking sandwich. I don't get time.
I don't have time for a fork or a knife or a plate. Put all that shit on a big piece of bread.
Nachos.
I don't even know what forks are. No.
Our teams are too busy winning. We ain't got time for utensils. Okay?
I'm just saying. I think.
No, what it really is too much awesome shit happens. And if you have like fries and all kinds of stuff, you jump up out of your seat and that shit goes flying. If it's all in a sandwich and you jump up and you're screaming, you know, here we go Steelers, you're waving. In your towel, you need a towel hand, is what it is. Sandwich in the other hand,
right? Like you might fling a tomato onto somebody's face, but otherwise you're good.
But then,
and nobody ever drops the beer. You could do a fucking somersault to catch a foul ball and save the beer.
Beer's still good. Exactly.
Most of the time, the beer's safely tucked away in my belly.
See, that's just thinking ahead. It's like that meme where the guy's like, you can't spill your beer if you drink all of it, you know?
There you go.
Oh, yeah. It's much cheaper to smuggle it in the stadium in your belly from home. That's a pro tip.
Down here in D.C., we call that pre-gaming.
Indeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was fun, man. I had a good time. This was a good show. Are there any other, like, just wacky, outlandish, crazy shit that you – because I got one more – that would be fucking bananas. That would just make me laugh if it happened.
No, I don't have a good on yours.
Okay, so it's Super Bowl 51. It is the New York Giants. It is the New England Patriots. Eli Manning gets hurt game one, week one. Who do the Giants call out of retirement? Tony Romo. Tony Romo leads the New York Giants to the Super Bowl to play the New England Patriots.
Oh my god!
First play. from scrimmage. Tony Romo drops back. New England Patriots sack him, breaks his back. Patriots win the Super Bowl 55-10.
Oh.
Because damn. Fuck Tony Romo.
In my head, I had the Giants winning.
Yeah.
Just so that I can rub it in Cowboys' faces that he got it done for the Giants, but not for you guys.
Oh no, I wanted him because I'm so sick of people
demolish Tony Romo.
Yes, because I'm so sick of people telling me that Tony Romo deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. No, you know what former Cowboy needs to be in the Hall of Fame? His name is fucking Drew Bledsoe, because Drew Bledsoe played in two Super Bowls, whereas Tony Romo played in absolutely zero. Because Drew Bledsoe won playoffs games, not cried after he dropped a whole field goal. So. I don't want to hear it. Quarterbacks don't cry, okay?
From a famous picture.
Yeah, Drew Bledsoe.
Famous picture is him basically going, I think I might go home and kill myself.
Yeah. You want to know what happened to Drew Bledsoe?
The gears turning in his head.
Drew Bledsoe got hit in the chest by Mo Lewis. Sheared a blood vessel. It almost cost him his life. Do you want to know how many tears he shed? Zero. You know what he said? Hit me again, Mo. I fucking dare you.
Savage.
As he's being carted off the field, like dying, you know? He's like, dying. Fucking do it again. I dare you. Holy follow me shit. To the hospital. Come to the hospital, Mo. Come on. Do something. No, he didn't really say that. It'd be funny if he did. No, like
I was about to say, damn, he's got right? Chuck Norris blood in his veins.
No, you want to hear, this is why I fucking love Drew Bledsoe. So, like, he's a backup, right, at this point, in that Super Bowl against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaches are trying to tell Tom Brady, like, okay, so we got the ball. The score's tied. Let's not do anything stupid. Let's just hold the ball and kneel it, and we'll go into overtime and take our chances in overtime. And, like, they're all saying that, and then, like, Brady's like, all right, well, I'll take him out on the field. As he's walking out the field, Bledsoe goes, nah, dude, fuck that shit. Sling that ball. I was like.
Really? He said that for real?
Yes. He actually said that.
Is that, like, on, like, NFL films or something?
I will find it. Hang on. I'm going to find it right now. Yes, because he said, he goes, fuck it, rookie. Sling that shit.
Mm.
Let me see if I can find it.
I like that.
Hang on.
Wow. He could be my offensive coordinator any day.
Tom Brady, sling it. Let me see if I can find it. Like, but, it was just the coolest thing. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Okay. I'm going to turn it up.
It's 17-17. Well, my first thing is I go up to Charlie and I say, what are we doing? And he says, we're going. So I said, all right, what's the first play? And Charlie says to me, I'm sure Bill sent his here. He better take care of that ball. So Charlie yells at me. He says, hey. Take care of that ball. And Drew was kind of standing next to me, and he kind of just shuffled in front of that, and he says, F*** that. Go out there and sling it.
Nice.
Isn't that like the baldiest thing ever?
Hell yeah. He's the backup quarterback. Fuck it. What is he going to say? Oh, Drew told me to do it? Be your own man, Brady.
Yeah. The only reason I'm successful is because Drew Bledsoe told me to be a badass.
Hey, but for real, like this... This whole little different alternate universe thing.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I think we could do this on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And rival 30 for 30.
Ooh. The thing is NFL.com does something similar to this called the NFL.
Really?
Yes. Ooh. Have you
really?
Seen it? Have you ever you've never seen it before?
No, seen
oh,
it.
They're so fucking good. It's like they have one where it's like, what if Elway stayed with the Colts instead of going to the Broncos? Because remember, he pulled the Eli before Eli did it.
Yeah.
Where he was like, I'm going to play for the Colts. Fuck that. I'll go play baseball.
I'm going to go play for the Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. And they do stuff like that. Like, what if Colin Kaepernick went here? I mean, they're really, really, really interesting. The guy's name is Dave Damachek.
Okay.
Yeah, check him out if you get a chance. But I think doing them with other sports would be fun. I think doing it with fucking movies would be fun. I think that if we did it with, like, music and stuff, too, like, what, you know, like, we were talking about it before, like, what if Kurt Cobain survived? Like, how would that have changed music? Like,
right.
Would Jimi Hendrix be selling Levitra to pay for his replacement hip? Like, that sort of shit. I think we could have some fun with that. We've done stuff like that before.
I love it. My imagination is ridiculous. So if I had time, I could come up with some really good shit.
Yeah. Well, Steve, buddy.
I'm here.
Again.
Steve Arena.
It's always a pleasure, man. And I was joking about it before, but like, it always makes that it has that like nostalgic feeling whenever we get to do our podcast, and it takes me back to those days when we would be in the basement of my house talking into one microphone like a bunch of assholes. So,
I mean,
looking like
you're basically kissing over that microphone.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was a fucking like romantic like you know ad for something as we lean into it.
I wanna know what love is.
It always comes back to Foreigner.
I want you to show me.
Thank you, Eric. Good timing, buddy.
Come back with the fire.
I like it. It's spitting hot fire. So let me give thanks to everybody. Big thanks to Jay. Jay, thanks for coming down, man. I know this is a long drive for you. So.
No, man, it was my pleasure.
We appreciate
it. It's long overdue. You know, I got my schedule together, and yeah. Hopefully I can do it much more in the future. And one day I can quit my job and do this every day.
We're getting there, man. Viv?
What's up? Wait a minute. Wait, yes. Wait, before we move on, what was the catchphrase earlier? The tingling pants? What was it?
Oh, yeah. My pants are tingling.
All right, so it was Jay? Jay?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Jay's pants are tingling.
Oh, yeah.
The fuck, man?
All the time.
Viv, as always.
Yes, sir.
My beautiful and lovely co-host, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being involved in our pirate radio shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
thank
Steve, thank you for always being the you're not the Batman to my Superman. I don't know. We're like on the same page, but like trying to think. What's a good analogy here, Steve?
Martian Manhunter.
Probably like I'm like your Aquaman.
You're bearded and you carry a trident everywhere?
You're the ass to his ass.
Ass
to ass.
Oh, God.
You're that weird blonde girl to my Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah. Rumble, like, isn't Coke the bad?
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Mike Lunsford, and for everything geek pop culture, this is Comics Online Pirate Radio. I'm riding my blues, babe.
Trying to ride my blues. This has been a Comics Online Pirate Radio Network production, douchebag. Yeah, boy.